You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: Out of Our Darkness. Title: Light Above the Clouds. Light Above the Clouds. Yesterday marked the culmination of a horrible week. Just when it seems things couldn't deteriorate further, invariably, they do. Yesterday was no exception. I found myself engulfed in a hurly-burly of anger, sorrow, and despair. I dare call it an assault by the sinister sword of depression. I felt horrible, trapped in a pit with no visible escape. I reached out to the minister, fully intending to resign from ministry. I contemplated abandoning it all, relegating myself to sporadic church visits, embracing a cantankerous existence. Thankfully, she did not answer. I also sought solace in my dear friend, Dr. Jeffrey Davidson, a pillar in my ministry journey. Yet he too remained unreachable. My faith was lost, my autonomy questioned, all on my only day off. Yet what stung most was the implication on my work ethic. Whether in ministry, teaching, or the realm of information technology, I endeavor to serve my employer as unto the Lord Yeshua himself. No one may impugn my diligence or dedication. I strive for excellence, not out of vanity, but out of reverence. As for a child of God owes nothing less than their utmost effort, their utmost best. Honest intellectual discourse is one thing. However, condescension is another matter entirely. To have one's competence questioned, akin to a seasoned parent being asked if they recognize a soiled diaper, is not merely laughable. It's insulting, demeaning. You are a child of God, and to Him, you only give the best you have. When you don't know something, you study it so hard that you know more about it than another, you become a specialist in your field. Not because you are so good or that you are the best, no. But because you want to give the best to the highest. So then, when somebody attacks me on my quality of work or treats me like a nincompoop, then yes, I get a little ticked. Okay, when you have an honest philosophical discussion on a topic, that is different, that is good, that is how you sharpen your sword, your wits. But come on, now to ask you if you tried this or that, and if you maybe plugged it in, or maybe it needs rebooted, or maybe the screen is not on, did you check the battery? It is almost like this. You have had and raised 9 children, been awake when they were sick, and then you are asked while you look at another poopy diaper. Do you smell that? I think you might want to check if the baby soiled its diaper. Do you think you're able to change it? Do you know how to do that? Are you qualified enough for it? Yeah, you might laugh now about it, but when you have been up for the last 3 nights changing those nasty ones because your little one is sick, then you don't think that this question is a laughing matter. It is insulting, it is ridiculous, or let's call it just plain stupid and degrading to you as a parent and a human being. You're already running on your reserves, and then they question your ability to take care of your child. Oh yes, the mama bear is now wearing lipstick and ready for war. Okay, that is a little bit how I felt, Papa Bear, and on the attack. Both the minister and my dear friend Jeff, admirable though they are, could not dissuade me from my despondency. My wife, understanding and supportive, allowed me space to vent, a sanctuary amidst the storm. Have you too found yourself besieged on all fronts? Whether spiritually, professionally, or health-wise, this message is for you. During a subsequent conversation with my friend, he remarked on the sun's constancy, even on cloudy or rainy days. Though obscured from view, its radiance persists. Similarly, under the shelter of Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries, we may not always perceive God's light, yet it remains ministering to us through His grace, His Spirit. Indeed, The sun shines unabated. It's our own clouds that obstruct our view. The brilliance hasn't dimmed, it's merely veiled temporarily. Recall Jesus' admonition to Peter in Luke 22:31, 32. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. This injunction may not be palatable in moments of distress, yet it underscores a profound truth. When consumed by doom and gloom, we dwell not in God's light, but under the shadow of Satan's assault. In his presence, there is no darkness, no negativity, no doubt, only unwavering faith. Previously, we explored a similar theme, albeit from a different perspective. Engaged in God's kingdom work, we confront Satan's onslaught, his endeavor to shroud us in darkness. Thus, let us heed Jesus' instruction in Matthew 6. 9:13. Our Father in heaven, sanctified be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let us unite in prayer, irrespective of language or nationality, affirming our dependence on the Almighty. Remember, temptation doesn't beckon us toward virtuous pursuits. Rather, it goads us toward folly and peril. May God shield us from such snares. Would anyone willingly desire afflictions like severe injuries, illnesses, or bereavement? Absolutely not. Again, from the Tree of Life version, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to mankind. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape, so you will be able to endure it. God can be trusted that the temptation that people normally experience will not bring you down without Him, giving you a way to deal with it, or get through it, or conquer it. It does nowhere in this part of Scripture say that the temptation comes from God. It does say real clear that along with the temptation that came your way, God will provide a way out. Temptations, feeling attacked, or can I say it to be out of control and being under the influence of Satan's evil ways? Being overwhelmed, it can happen to anyone and everyone. Also, Jesus was under attack when he was in the desert after the baptism in the Jordan. Also, the well-educated and highly influential Apostle Paul was suffering from these attacks, and when we read the second letter of Corinthians, we can see it clearly. Okay, then let's read this one more time from that message. In the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul shows us that also he and his travel companions were not immune to the things of life that come our way. 2 Corinthians 1. 7, 9, Amplified Bible, Common English Bible, Complete Jewish Bible. And our hope for you, our joyful and confident expectation of good for you, is ever unwavering, assured and unshaken. For we know that just as you share and are partners in our sufferings and calamities, you also share and are partners in our comfort, consolation and encouragement. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be unaware of the troubles that we went through in Asia. We were weighed down with a load of suffering that was so far beyond our strength that we were afraid we might not survive. In our hearts, we felt we were under sentence of death. However, this was to get us to rely not on ourselves but on God, who raises the dead. Yes, even Paul thought that he would surely die, that whatever happened to them would cause him his life. There was so much suffering that it was, as the Common English Bible translation tells us, beyond our strength. I know for sure that this goes for all of us as we are gathered here. We all have or are enduring a time that is clearly beyond our strength. But Paul then also gives the answer in verse 9, rely in those cases on God and His strength through bring us through the situations of life. I think it is in situations like this that we need to hear the words of the letter to the Philippians, not as an admonishment, but as an encouragement. Yes, the tone in which we deliver words are more than important. How many times have we said something in the last couple of weeks or in the last year that were intended in a completely different way than that they were received? Philippians 4:13, King James Version, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul, all the other apostles and disciples have been under attack. Jesus has been under attack and has been under temptation. Satan told him, jump of the roof of this temple on which we are standing, and I know that the angels will catch you. I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. Rather big temptation, wasn't it? We in our situations are also always looking for bigger and better, and we might just have taken Satan up on that offer. With all of this, we have seen that even when we do not see it, God always provides a way of receiving help in our dark situations. We might not see the light of the world, Yeshua, at that certain moment in our lives, but it is as that cloud cover that Dr. Davidson spoke about, we need to fly through it, and then again we bathe in the full glory of the light of the world, Yeshua. So why is this happening to me, to you, to those hard-working saints of God, speaking, preaching, living the unadulterated word of God the Father? It is because God's word is true. It is the truth as God is truth. The watered-down word of God is not God's word. It is the word of the world. And as we know who is roaming and controlling this world, we can say this watered-down word of God is not his, but Satan's. Satan is not going to attack those that do not do anything in God's kingdom because those are not living according to his word. His God's word says to go out and speak the word, live the word, and bring people to Christ. This is what we call the Great Commissioning. You might sit in church every Wednesday evening and every Sunday, and still the only thing that you are is a very, very, very small heating element in winter, nothing more than a seat warmer. Yeah, you might even be in the choir, or you know what, be in the pulpit. But if you not live the life, speak the words, and be a laborer in the kingdom, you are nothing else than that very, very, very small heating element. Why would Satan be bothered by you? Why would he attack you? You are not a threat to his kingdom. You don't set the world on fire with the Holy Spirit. You can hardly get your seat warm in winter. Oh, we can hear them say, oh, that person is such a good person, and look under what kind of attacks he or she is. Why do bad things happen to good people? The answer we now know, because they are a danger to the kingdom of Satan. But God had forgotten them. No, he didn't. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to mankind. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so you will be able to endure it. God has provided a way of escape. For me, it was my phone call yesterday evening, after which my anger, my doubt, my hatred dissipated, and the love for ministry, the fire of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit was burning high again. And when I went to bed, the battle was raging still. Thunder and lightning was striking, and I could not get to sleep. Oh, but I need my 8 hours of beauty sleep, and this wonderful light show of nature keeping me awake. And I will not be able to do my Sunday work. Yeah, wrong. Satan, you will not win. The 6 hours of rest that I did get was enough, and peace was over my body, because the Lord had provided me a way out. He took over the battle. God fought Satan on my behalf. In the book of Chronicles we read, 2 Chronicles 20:15, and he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus Adonai says to you, do not be afraid or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Satan will win when he just fights me. But Scripture tells me that I am a mighty warrior. We follow the Lord, our banner, Jehovah Nissi. How can I envision that? I don't have to do that. J.R. Tolkien already did this, and we can see it in the movie The Lord of the Rings. When the Battle of Helm's Deep is taking place, those that are defending the fortification had almost given up. They had called for help. But the bright morning day of deliverance had not yet arrived. Then, from the top of the hill, there is Gandalf the White and his staff, and he lights up, blinding the overwhelmingly great forces of evil, the orcs, and those that are behind him. The thousands and thousands follow him down the hill and destroy evil. This day will be coming again. No, not with Gandalf. That is just a story character. But Tolkien used the Bible as his source of inspiration for his stories, and with that, the word has been spread, even when sometimes people didn't even knew it. But Jesus is coming again, riding on a white horse, and out of his mouth will come a flaming sword, the word of God. The book of Revelation is very revealing about this all, and we will be with him and receiving the many blessings. Deuteronomy 28, 12, 13. The Lord will open up for you his own well-stocked storehouse, the heavens, providing your land with rain at just the right time and blessing all your work. You will lend to many nations, but you won't have any need to borrow. The Lord will make you the head of things, not the tail. You will be at the top of things, not the bottom, as long as you obey the Lord, your God's commandments that I'm commanding you right now, by carefully doing them. I am the head and not the tail. For God, I am his child, and I come first, not last. Sometimes we need a little push. Sometimes we need a helping hand up when we are down. Sometimes we need a little surgery on our attitudes or actions. Sometimes we just need to be redirected to go up. Sometimes we are so lost and in addiction that we need to be pushed just a little deeper, so that instead of peering down into the dark tunnel, we can only look up and see a ray of sunshine through the clouds, and we know the sun is shining. Yeshua, Jesus, will bring you out of the darkness into the light, he said. John 8:12. Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God has fought the battle. He has taken us out of our darkness, and he will lift us above the clouds. Just as he has done before, he will do this again. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Exodus 19:4, 5. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. The Lord lifts us up and brings us into the light of the world, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.